So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
It had always been my dream to be the lead of a school musical. When I was in high school, I ended up with a role in every show, and I even played Ebenezer Scrooge my senior year. But I never got that singing role in a single musical, because my junior year, our director turned down a dozen talented senior girls for, and, well, male students, in favor of a junior girl and a male transfer student. My senior year, he did it again, choosing the same girl for the singing lead and another male transfer student to be the male lead. And it hurt, given that I once saw this director as a second father, and that all my loyalty and dedication apparently meant nothing to him. But it was during this time that my older sister left for college, and my younger sister and I bonded by watching cartoons together, one of which I never expected to be watching. I'm sure most people here know about Hasbro's My Little Pony. Hasbro has marketed said toys through television and other corporate schemes since 1981. Their most recent television adaptation is called My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And it focuses on the life of Twilight Sparkle and her five pony friends and one baby dragon learning how friendship is magic. It is set in the magical land of Equestria, full of ponies, unicorns, regular ponies, dragons, and many other magical creatures. And the show has received immense acclaim, due in part to one of its unique fandoms, the bronies. What is a brony, you ask? A brony is a male or adult who enjoys My Little Pony Friendship is Magic television series or the fan community. And yes, it is contagious. I should know. When we ran out of stuff to watch one night, my sister said, "Hey, do you want to watch some My Little Pony?" I just handed her the remote, said, "Go for it," and I just started playing Pokemon on my DS. The first My Little Pony episode we watched together was about Fluttershy learning to overcome her stage fright. I wasn't particularly impressed. I did watch the show on my own at some times, but I never actively sought it out until I watched a marathon of episodes about a character named Spike, the dragon. I've always loved dragons. As a kid, I had a sort of Christian faith in the existence of dragons. So naturally, this baby dragon intrigued me. In the show, Twilight Sparkle, the main character, hatched Spike from an egg as part of her magical entrance exam. Then she adopted him, and he becomes her number one assistant, a sort of messenger. Sadly, though, he never seemed to be center stage like the other main characters. I really wanted to see more instances of these two acting like family, more exploration of the sad fact Spike might never know his true parents or really fit in with the ponies, or how he was pulled between being a dragon and his pony upbringing. Compared to the rest of the cast, he seemed to have infinitely more character potential. But these thoughts were in the back of my head when I graduated to college. I thought college theater might be different from high school, but it was a lot more the same. I worked hard, put a lot of passion forth, but I was always passed up by another guy who never even had to try. And when I felt into a scene that I was really living it and in tune with the character, people who were watching me would say, "You looked unnatural or strange." And suddenly, I found that I couldn't trust my own instincts anymore. I ended up butting heads with a few student directors, even when I truly meant no offense. And around that time, I started considering suicide. I felt so alone and useless, as though my entire reason to exist was being threatened. And one time, I actually got a red scarf and wrapped it around my neck. But I never went further than that. My mom found out, and she immediately reconnected me with my psychiatrist to talk to my problems. I'd known my psychiatrist ever since middle school when I was diagnosed with clinical depression, and I imagine that depression stemmed from a childhood where I was never sure whether to love or fear my father. Sometimes I like to imagine he's still on an extended business trip, not really dead from an alcohol-ruptured pancreas. But while I was at college and working through this theater stuff, I ended up getting hooked watching My Little Pony-themed videos on YouTube. And these just fueled my desires to see some episode that just recognized Spike's potential. And by the time Christmas break rolled around, I already thought up half a dozen stories starring Spike. Of course, I couldn't speak to the show writers and tell them my brilliant ideas. But then a thought occurred to me. Why not write them? I discovered a My Little Pony fan fiction site, and I wrote my first story. And to my amazement, it was so cathartic. It was a joy to write. I loved seeing the first thumbs up appear on screen, so I wrote another two stories. And soon I found people praising my work in the comments. But during spring semester, I actually published my most popular story to date, about Twilight leading the defense trial to prove Spike was entitled to the same rights as any pony and could not be used as a lab rat to study dragons. Thank you. I really loved every second of my popularity. I got comments, likes, favorites, and suggestions that were pouring in from people who loved what I was doing and just wanted to support me. And since then, I've never stopped writing fan fiction. I can't. I'm on my 15th story right about now, working on one right now. And I guess you could say I've latched onto My Little Pony like I latched onto other toys, shows, and characters. When I was a kid, I latched onto Legos because I wanted to create worlds, be a hero. I remember latching onto video games because I wanted to go to another world where I would be the hero. And theater gave me an outlet where I could lose myself in another character. I guess I gravitated towards My Little Pony fandom in a way because it offered a method of expression, creation, and fulfillment I just couldn't find in life. You'd think due to the way it saved me, I'm one of the most hardcore bronies out there. But to tell you the truth, I seldom actually watch My Little Pony episodes unless they star Spike. Whenever he's not in an episode, I find myself wondering, where is he? When they spend more time on the loud, outspoken Rainbow Dash, I find myself wishing the writers would explore his potential. Unfortunately, the show was made to market pony toys to little girls, so male dragon like Spike doesn't get spotlight much. I don't know how much longer I'll be writing My Little Pony fan fictions. And these days, I can say I don't do much theater, Legos, or many video games. And I suppose sooner or later I might have to stop writing these fanfics when life inevitably catches up with me. But I don't think I'll ever stop wanting more of the Spike. So while My Little Pony helped me overcome my depression and self-loathing after countless failures and setbacks, Spike was really the character who spurred my new life dedicated to writing. He was the dragon who made me a brony. I gotta say, I am forever grateful to My Little Pony and the fandom it inspired. Without their support, I might have been unfortunately brave enough to wrap my scarf around my neck and jump. Without them, I would have no idea what I'm gonna do with my life. And now, I think I'm alive and doing pretty well. I have a home away from home, a home away from college, and I'm taking that home with me wherever I bring my laptop, so I'm never really alone. Even though I barely watch the show, I call myself a brony because I like writing about Spike and giving him a chance to be in the spotlight. And I'm part of a vast community that reminds me that even someone who messes up as much as me has a reason to be alive.